south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, a lot of things to get to today. First, let's talk about social media networking here in Latin America. Because for Latinos anyway, it's much different than it is for Americans who are addicted to social media. Oh yeah, down here south of the border, they're addicted all right, but in a different way. Now, it's been estimated that only about 20% of Latin Americans have consistent internet in their home, yet nearly 100% of Latins have cell phones. It's also been estimated by the biggest internet company in Latin America, Claro, which is also a cell phone company and cable TV and satellite company too, owned by that disgusting Latin George Soros clone, Mexican fat boy Carlos Slim. Well, as it turns out, just like in the rest of the world, Latin people just love their cell phones. Yet, it's been estimated only about 15 to 20% of Latinos are on Facebook and Twitter, at least checking it on a daily basis. So who's in that group? Well, upper middle class and wealthy Latins and their entitled children, of course, fat-ass government bureaucrats and slugs with desk jobs, as well as most every high school and college kid attending a private school, and all Latin college students, whether going to a private or public university. You see, for Latin university students, it's a must-have. There's a lot of peer pressure there. Even if you attend public university, take the chicken bus and can't even afford books, you'll spend your last centavo on an internet telephone plan. So that's the basic social networking makeup of all Latin America. So then what about the other 80% of Latin Americans who are not using Facebook and Twitter on a daily basis? Since the majority of them have very low-end smartphones or very smart dumb phones. Now, does that make sense? Well, it does to me. Anyway, speaking over a traditional phone line costs money. Though not when you're calling from one phone company's service to another, like Claro to Claro or Tigo to Tigo. But if you call, let's say, from Claro to Movistar or Tigo, it could cost you up to 10 cents a minute. For Latins, really expensive just to report on the emergence of your latest adolescent pimple or bowel movement at Taco Bell. That's what Facebook and Twitter are for, right? So what you have is the middle, lower class, and poor 80% of Latin Americans on burner phones or upscale burner phones, unable to afford or qualify for a monthly payment phone contract. So suddenly, about 2 years ago, they discovered WhatsApp. And it's gone viral because they can talk to their friends, text, and send photos virtually for free. And talking about going viral, man, that WhatsApp is everywhere here. Even shoe-shined boys, cleaning ladies, and indigenous coffee pickers out in the boonies use WhatsApp. Well, I take that back. It's the children of the indigenous coffee pickers that are using it. What I'm saying is WhatsApp's become an addiction, and why 80% of Latins use it exclusively instead of Twitter and Facebook. So what about anonymity? Well, Latins don't care about that. Never met one who did. Since here in Latin America, Big Brother is not alive and well, there's no obvious loss of rights, privacy or otherwise, and there's no urgency for them to even think about it. However, that innocence or ignorance comes at a price. Every Latin person I know will give up his debts and personal info to any pop-up window that offers a chance at a free pizza. All right, so if you're coming down to Latin America and you're mingling in any way at all with the locals and you exchange info, you're going to hear, "Give me your WhatsApp." That's how they're going to communicate you if they're the ones initiating the call. Of course, if you're initiating the call, it doesn't matter since it's on your dime. But when they're calling, they're counting down every centavo. Oh, and before WhatsApp, well, it was all about text messaging. And believe me, Latins became the masters of it. Of course, there is some text messaging still going on, but it's vastly diminished compared to a couple years ago. Now, as far as the upper 20% of Latins who do use Twitter, Facebook, and the other anti-social media sites, because that's what they are, you know. By the way, you probably guessed I'm not on WhatsApp. Anyway, within that 20% that's totally media nuts with Twitter and Facebook, there are now actual Spanish words in the vernacular for people who are addicted to those things. So when someone's addicted to Twitter, they're called a Twittero. If someone's addicted to Facebook, they're called a Facebookero. I'm not kidding. These are brand new words that people use all the time. Twittero if you're addicted to Twitter, and Facebookero if you're addicted to Facebook. That's the same kind of suffix or ending used to describe people who are addicted to novelas. That's soap operas. They're called noveleros. Sheesh. What a revolting development, huh? All right, moving on. While you've got those devastating hurricanes whipping through, we've got our earthquakes. Of course, you've heard and probably have seen a lot about the devastating 7.1 Mexico City earthquake. 250 deaths and counting, lots and lots of rubble and destruction. But again, being an engineer, I look at the devastation and the reports you see on TV and such with a different sort of critical eye. While most are looking at the rescue efforts and the wounded, I'm looking at how the buildings that fell were constructed. Now, don't you think it's quite odd that many, many of the buildings that came tumbling down were government buildings? Now, why do you think that happened? Was it fate? Bad luck? Well, you know, you can draw an easy conclusion. Government contracts. Now, in the construction world, where do you think the greatest amount of skimming, corruption, and graft might occur? With government contracts. That would be buildings and roads, of course. So, what you get is a weaker cement mix, less metal rebar structural support, just general skimping and corner cutting everywhere. Which is why when I saw all that damage to government buildings, I noticed there was almost no twisted rebar sticking out anywhere. And you know, modern anti-seismic construction methods dictate there should be a dense internal crisscrossing of rebar practically everywhere embedded within the concrete. But rebar is one of the most expensive parts of the job, too. And why government contractors will skimp on it all the time. What do you think contractors put that stuff in for? To hold concrete together if there's any cracks or twisting. Of course, even reinforced structures like that will get some hairline cracks and fissures during a big quake, but they're not going to crack wide open, break apart, and collapse. However, some buildings did just that. You saw it on the news. Pretty spectacular, huh? Of course, a lot of badly built residential adobe structures went down too. As mentioned in a previous show, adobe does not have any rebar at all. Adobe bricks are basically sun-fired clay, mud, and straw. Oh, and there's some footage of a lot of Mexican parking structures collapsing too. And many of those parking lots, you guessed it, were incorporated in government buildings. All right, you got it. You get the idea. Just like up in the States, governments aren't good at anything except spending money. But just one last thing. I'm seeing on the TV and in the newspapers and stuff all kinds of pleadings for your donations and help. I'm not saying don't do it, not to help. Just remember, if you do, at least 50% of your money, probably 80%, is going to get stolen. Again, the only way to help people in need in Latin America or anywhere in what they call the developing world is to hand it directly to the people in need. You give it to an agency or a middleman, it's going to get skimmed. That's pretty much a given. Look at the Clinton Foundation. It's been estimated now of all the hundreds of millions of dollars donated to help Haiti. After their huge 7-point earthquake in 2010, less than 5% of all the donations went to the Haitian people. The rest, stolen and skimmed. Then again, we're talking about the Clintons. A normal crooked charity will only skim maybe 80%. The Clintons, being overachievers, stole 95%. Anyway, lots of very big earthquakes here in Latin America lately, and every single building built to first world seismic codes survived nicely. However, as you probably know, we're at the very end, in fact, at the pin-popping point of a huge middle and upper middle class real estate bubble. It seems all Latin cities, large and small, have all kinds of construction projects going on right now. The result will be that many of them will never get finished. They'll be abandoned. For example, in Guatemala City, 2 million population, they've got 25 distinct zones. And just recently, I was reading in one of the Latin trade papers that in just one of those 25 zones, Zone 10, building permits have been taken out and approved for 7 new commercial and residential high-end, high-rise towers, each from 10 to 40 stories high. Meanwhile, there are many new high-end residential projects and high-rise towers throughout the city that have almost no lights on at night, meaning they're unsold. Something's very wrong with that picture. But there's more. Get this, just a few days ago, right after the big Mexico City earthquake, I was talking to a highly educated Latin professional guy who has been living for 4 or 5 years now in one of those newer residential towers on the 7th floor. It's a high-end place, first world anti-seismic construction all the way. And when I asked him what it felt like to be on the seventh floor during the last big Guatemalan earthquake just a couple weeks ago, he just shook his head and rolled his eyes. By the way, you probably heard me talk about that earthquake on last week's show, right? Now, that condo he lives in on the seventh floor with his wife and kids, he owns it. Yet he said, I'm looking to move out of the city limits, get a little land, build something or buy something no more than two stories high. I said, good move. I'd never want to live in a high-rise myself, not in earthquake country. He said, I don't know what I was thinking when I bought this place, but my wife fell in love with it. And then I said, I bet there's a hell of a lot of people living in high-rises who are thinking the same thing you are. Then he said, yeah, in fact, I called up a few realtors to let them list my place, and they said the same thing. They were getting deluged with calls from high-rise condo owners wanting to get out. He sounded defeated when he said, yeah, I'll probably lose my shirt on this place. There won't be any takers. Then I said, you do know they're breaking ground for seven other high-rise developments in Zone 10, you know, and he happens to be in Zone 10. Then he said, no, really? Then I'm really screwed. I'm never going to be able to dump this place. Unless, he said, I list it with Century 21 or Remax, and they'll market it up in the States. Yep, I said, you're probably right. There are lots of clueless gringos up there who don't know what the greater fool theory is. Look at all the high-priced crap they've been buying in Costa Rica and Panama. Then he said, if it doesn't sell, maybe I'll make an Airbnb out of it. And then we discussed the real estate bubble. He didn't want to believe it before, but he sure believes it now. So the question is, will clueless gringos take the bait? Will they buy beautiful high-rise condos dirt cheap as they're dumped on the market? Would you? Hope not. Well, some already have. All right, there you have it. A little Latin American real estate and earthquake roundup. So am I the only podcast / radio guy telling the real truth about earthquakes and real estate down here? I think so, and I know why. Because the other expat international rags, bloggers, podcasters, whatever, are affiliated with real estate developers or have some real estate to sell you themselves. Oh yes, they have their pet real estate projects they'll guide you into. I know who you are, so don't deny it. In fact, I was invited to be interviewed on a pretty popular expat show not so long ago. That was before the recent volley of earthquakes. And near the end of the interview, I pointed out a number of reasons why Latin America was in a huge real estate bubble, which got a few chuckles at first, but I understand they didn't like my viewpoint about real estate because they themselves were affiliated with real estate projects in Latin America, specifically Mexico. Now, I didn't know that, but I found out later when they decided never to ask me back again. All right, on a lighter and somewhat stranger note, the other day I was sitting in my office looking over the coffee fields, putting together another expat file show, plugging away, and I heard the doorbell ring. And you know, when you're in a gated, guarded community, when the doorbell rings, it's either the cleaning lady or maintenance guy wanting to get in, or the garbage man, or maybe it's the fontanero, that's the guy in charge of the water in the well, comes by once a month to give you your water bill. Or it could be someone delivering something you ordered, or just a plain old visitor, someone you know. But in that case, you'll always get a phone call first because they'll check in at the guard station and he'll phone you up and say, so-and-so is outside, should I let him in? And you say yes or no. But there was no such call, and the cleaning lady and the maintenance guy were already here, so I figured the guard or the garbage man, the only other two people the guard doesn't give me a heads up on, because they can automatically come in. They've got permission. Anyway, I checked the monitor for the camera at the front door, and lo and behold, by God, it looked like I was going to get saved. There were two Mormons standing there. Like shoes, socks, and shorts, they come in pairs, you know. Yep. They were the usual Mormon suspects for Latin America. One, extremely tall, white-skinned, light-haired, stereotypical gringo. The other, a short, dark, black-haired Latino, certainly in training. Now, this was a first and highly unusual. How'd they get past the security gate? And why are they at my door? So I phoned up the guard and said, what's up? What are these Mormones doing here? He said, well, they asked to see the gringo, and one of them was a gringo himself. So the guard filled in the blanks, figuring they were asking for me because I was the only gringo around. Which, looking back, seems like a very good ploy to get into a gated, guarded community if you're not invited, even if you're on a soul-saving mission. Now, that wouldn't work in upscale communities in Costa Rica, Panama, parts of Mexico. Too many gringos everywhere, but off the tourist trail, that's a way in. Tourists, gringos, and expats are rare, but every upscale, gated, guarded community has at least one gringo resident or a European. They're considered virtual gringos, you know. So anyway, the guard at the gate was embarrassed. I know he'll never do that again. He said, "Do you want me to get rid of him?" And I said, "Nah, I'll take care of it." So I went to the door and opened it, and the first thing out of the gringo Mormon's mouth was, "Hello, sir. Would you happen to have 5 minutes or so to join us in reading a couple of verses out of the Bible?" Then I walked over and grabbed the garden hose, which was a couple feet away. Guess they thought I was going to spray them because they cringed a bit, tightened up, and went into that I'm going to get sprayed with water defensive stance. I guess those religious door-to-door types get trained up for stuff like that. Then I said to him, and I got this from expat Eddie, by the way, "So you want 5 minutes or so to read Bible verses with me, huh? Well, it's a deal as long as you've got 5 minutes or so to wash my car for me." And I shoved the hose in his hand. Then I said, "Think of it as killing two birds with one stone." Then there was silence, a pregnant pause, so I filled it by saying, "By the way, what's Tom Cruise like?" Then the gringo guy said, no, that's Scientology. We're Mormons." And that's when my two Dobermans and Rottweilers showed up. And man, I wish I had got a photo of the look on their faces then. Needless to say, he dropped the hose, they started backing away, and he said, "I can see you're busy, so we'll be moving on. Have a good day, sir, and may God bless." Awful polite, those Mormons, and that's a good thing. And as they broke into a pretty healthy power walk down the street, I yelled out, "Say hello to John Travolta for me." To which the gringo Mormon turned around, almost fell over his own feet, and said, "That's Scientology. We're Mormons." Of course, I knew that. I was just with him. By the way, if they would have stuck around and washed my car, which I highly doubt, I was always meaning to ask one of those guys how they keep their shirts so nice, unblemished, crisp, and starched. Because, you know, they trek through some pretty grungy neighborhoods in the tropical noonday sun. I was thinking, the next group that wanted 5 minutes might not be up to washing cars, but my cleaning lady could sure use some pointers in the laundry department. All right, we'll slam on the brakes here for a second, just to say I get a lot of emails from people asking me for some tips on how to maneuver their way through the Latin bureaucratic red tape machine. And you know, almost all the emails of that type are from people who speak some Spanish and therefore are under the impression they can do it themselves. So what are we talking about here? Residencies, visas, driver's licenses, business permits, land purchases, buying cars, etc. Yep, we'll have some good tips on how to handle those stifling Latin bureaucracies today, but first, let me grab a minute here to tell you about my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, again taking place in Central America, in and around Guatemala. Go to www.thenewexpat.com, and once there, you can hit the link and see the info, the itinerary, and the early bird discounts that are in effect right now. If you really want to see with your own eyes what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire here in Latin America, come down to my January seminar and get 6 straight days of drinking through the fire hose. However, if you just can't make it down, there is a great way to get your Plan B organized from right up there in the States by signing up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Just go to expatplanb.com and check out my free introductory video. Now, you've heard me mention that a lot of people do one-on-one phone and Skype consultations with me. Now, why do you think they'd sign up for something like that? That's why you should download my phone consultation questionnaire, also to be found at thenewexpat.com website. Have a look. It's a great help in organizing your own Plan B list. And finally, don't forget, if you do sign up for my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, that automatically qualifies you for a one-on-one phone or Skype consult with me, and it's free. So how far are you along in your Plan B? You going to be all right when the supermarket shelves are empty? When the power goes down for days, if not weeks? Got a nice, safe, well-stocked place to go? Are you going to just dial 911 and wait for Clint Eastwood or maybe Barney Fife to show up? Would it make you happy to get carted off to some kind of stadium or barrack shelter? Well, that's where a couple of 100,000 hurricane victims have been hanging, you know? Is that your Plan B? Hope not. All right, speaking about the tips you'll need in dealing with Latin bureaucracies, comes this email on that very subject. This comes from Marlo, a gringo expat living in Ecuador. Here's what he says, and I'll add my two bits as we go along. He says, "Dear Johnny, recently, breathing a sigh of relief after running a bureaucratic gamut at an unnamed government agency in Ecuador, I found out there are still more hurdles and hoops to jump through. Why wasn't I told? I thought it was over. I must admit, for me, 100% gringo expat, luckily, my wife is pretty good in Spanish, which greases the skids, sometimes. The problem is, you see, gringo and expat do-it-yourself types just don't get it. The so-called official government information you read on gringo websites is not always accurate. In fact, taking that stuff as gospel, I've chased my own tail many times. Even if you do read Spanish and go to the official government websites, which are in Spanish, at no time, no matter what kind of bureaucratic task we were trying to accomplish, did we find complete and accurate information posted online in either English or Spanish. And forget about asking gringos you meet or counting on what people say in those gringo blogs. I'm not saying don't check them out, but they can often send you down a bottomless rabbit hole as well. Believe me, I've been there, and many of my save-a-buck gringo expat friends too. Oh, and it's 100% true that Latin people are very, very nice and helpful. That includes personnel sitting around, twiddling their thumbs in Latin government positions too. Yes, they are generally very helpful. And often when you're standing around in a government office, scratching your head, looking completely flummoxed, your gringo advantage does kick in, and more than one government worker just might try to help. Sometimes offering different opinions on what you should do, often sending you down another rabbit hole. Though I can't tell you how many times we thought we had, for example, our visa information complete, and we had to make two more trips back to the government office to get things clarified. And let me tell you, if you're asked to give up your fingerprints, 101 things can go wrong. So when going through that process, or any process that involves the government, there's one word you have to keep repeating over and over again. That's patience, patience, patience. Now, I'm not saying you can't go it on your own, but don't even attempt it unless your Spanish is pretty good. Even so, I'd hardly recommend it unless you have a friend or relative who's a local Spanish speaker. Still, certainly you'll never get anything done on the first go-around. Be prepared to visit certain government offices over and over again. Patience, patience, patience. And don't forget, whatever paperwork and documents are required, they'll have to be translated into Spanish by what government people call a certified translator. That would be one that's approved by the government. It's not like up in the States where every postmaster and bank teller is a notary. Latin American governments have created mountains of paperwork, and it appears that only lawyers can be notaries here. And if you're submitting paperwork from your home country, they will generally have to be authenticated. For some government documents, this is straightforward, but mostly not. For example, FBI background checks are authenticated by the U.S. State Department. Government documents such as birth certificates and state background checks are authenticated by the state in which they are issued. However, for some documents, authentication is more difficult. For example, many states will not authenticate a college diploma, and you'll need that in some cases if you're applying for a teaching job. However, if you have trouble getting different documents authenticated in the states, in many instances, this can be resolved by creating an affidavit certifying that you are of sound mind, etc. Although some people think just the act of moving to Latin America means you are not of sound mind. You then take this to a U.S. attorney who can notarize your signature on the affidavit, then send the whole thing to the authenticating agency in your state who authenticate your attorney's signature as a legal notary. I know, it sounds crazy, but that's the way it is. As mentioned before, a lot of Americans come down who know some Spanish and try to do it on their own. Could be a visa, driver's license, work permit, whatever. And certainly you can look online at government websites and do research on blogs like most people do. But if you go that route, be prepared to be thoroughly confused because there's all kinds of conflicting information out there. As you might expect, Latin government websites are especially behind the times and provide often old and incomplete information. And the blogs will attest, at best, to just the latest examples of gringos getting hung up trying to do things on their own. So if you go to the blogs, you'll see successes and failures, but all you're going to find out is the latest experience by a gringo in a given government location, which may or may not be different in other government locations throughout the country. That's the kind of thing that drives so many of us gringos nuts. And what does it always boil down to? Money. Saving a few bucks. And do be aware that Latin legislators are always passing laws, just like in the U.S., creating even more paperwork, red tape, and making things tougher. As a result, new official procedures are often rolled out at one agency and not others. Then they're revised various times before they're finalized through other agencies. Which is why it might take months and months before there is complete information on any government website, and still, you can't count on it. Which is why it's a good idea to have triplicate copies of everything, and have a nice high-definition scan of every single document you have put on a flash drive to carry with you at all times in case you're asked by a government official after standing in line for an hour and a half to produce, for example, a black and white copy instead of a color one. Yep, that's happened to me. Luckily, there are any number of little photocopy places all around government buildings for just that sort of thing. And next, don't be surprised if you're in the process of handing in some paperwork that you're asked by a government official to obtain a document or action from a second agency, and when you get there, the government official's confused or don't know what you're talking about, which will necessitate another trip back to the first government office to get that clarified. Well, here's a tip. If a government official tells you to go to a different building to get yet another piece of paperwork, be sure to get that first guy's name and phone number. That way, when you're at the next government building and everyone's completely confused, you can call that first idiot up and hand the phone over to the new idiot you're dealing with. Let them work it out on your phone and your dime. Sometimes that's the only way. Which is why in the end, instead of trying to save 10, 20, 50, 100, even 500 bucks, it's always better to go through an English-speaking Latin lawyer as your facilitator for all of this stuff. And sometimes when you're sitting with gringos at a bar or an event, there's just no end to the stories of people hitting brick walls when dealing with the bureaucracy. Each crazy story topping the previous one. Then, this happens every time, some blowhard gringo pops up and says, "You guys are full of it. I had no problem and I did it myself. Saved 600 bucks, too." Well, I assure you, there's certainly more to that story. Maybe a Latina girlfriend or Latino roommate. Or maybe it really was the luck of the Irish. We all know someone like that, don't we? Which reminds me of my good old friend John Galt, who came down here with not a lick of Spanish. Every time he walked into a government office, some female worker would sense his predicament, take him by the hand, and walk him right through it. Yep, you guys in the States, when you're in your 60s, you should be so lucky. Though he did tell me every last one of those ladies would do a very thorough wedding ring inspection, even looking for a fresh groove in case he'd pulled a fast one and slipped it off.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.